Well, good evening. God bless you. Let's take our Bibles and go to 2 Peter chapter 1, please, tonight. Throughout the week, we're looking at the vital topic of the nine manifestations of Holy Spirit. And this morning, we spent considerable time looking at speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. We're going to continue looking at those three manifestations tonight and also have an introduction to our topic that we'll pick up tomorrow morning concerning the revelation manifestations. I made the statement last night that six of these nine manifestations existed prior to the day of Pentecost, that three of them are new to our administration, the administration of the grace of God. And afterwards, some of you had questions because this has been taught differently by other people. But when it comes to the manifestation of prophecy, it's very important to separate that from the prophecy that existed in the Old Testament. The word prophecy has two uses in the Bible. And the one that concerns the Old Testament can be seen here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Perhaps a familiar verse of scripture, or familiar scriptures to you, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It's kind of a foundational verse, isn't it, in many ways? That no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, by Holy Spirit. The word prophecy here does not refer to the manifestation of prophecy, because the scripture was not received by the manifestation of prophecy. It was received how? By revelation. And this is very consistent throughout the Old Testament. Prophets would come periodically to groups of people and they would speak for God. And what they were speaking from God was revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and at times discerning of spirits. That's revelation. But what is new that came on the day of Pentecost is the manifestation of prophecy. You stop and think about prophecy as we operate here in the church. The words that God gives to our spirit are words of edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. And they're given to who? To all of us, the church. Now let me ask you a question. When did the church come into existence? Pentecost. So if the manifestation of prophecy is to the church, how could there be the manifestation of prophecy prior to the church being in existence? Another thing is that there are no examples given in the Old Testament or the Gospels of the manifestation of prophecy as edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, I know some teachers have described that which Elizabeth and Mary exchanged, I think it's in Luke 1, as being the manifestation of prophecy, but if you read that record, that is straight revelation. When Mary visited Elizabeth, both of those women operated the manifestations, and they spoke to each other by revelation. There are no examples of the manifestation of prophecy prior to the church epistles. It's also very, very interesting. If you start in the book of Romans and read through the New Testament, there's not much instruction given on word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning of spirits, or faith, miracles, and healings. Why? Because it pre-existed Pentecost. It's explained in the Old Testament and the Gospels. In fact, starting tomorrow morning, that's where we're going to spend considerable time, because that's where God's instruction is given. Why would he have to re-explain those manifestations when they're explained in great detail in the Old Testament and in the Gospels? But what does sit rather prominently in the book of Acts and in the church epistles, most notably 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, is a detailed explanation of speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and what? Prophecy. Why does God need to explain those? Because they're new. They're new to the church. So this was a question, a very wonderful question that came up since last night, and I thought it would be a blessing to offer that clarification, and I hope it is clear. I hope it didn't muddy it any further. So now let's go to Acts chapter 2, please. One of the things that has very much turned me on from God's Word for years and increasingly is the simplicity that comes when you start to understand a topic. I have increasingly realized that if, when I try to explain it to somebody, if it's not clear, that the real problem is not with that other person, but it's with my understanding. In other words, I need to understand it more so I can explain it more clearly. There was a time where it became necessary to start teaching people about the operation of speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And at first it seemed like it was a very daunting task for me because that had been handled by others and there were people that I admired, and it was challenging at first. But then as I worked the field, things started to clarify, and as they clarified, they started to simplify. I believe at this point in time that for the hungry soul, for the desirous soul, for the one who really wants to, say, speak in tongues, that I can help that individual by teaching him one verse of Scripture. And that one verse is found in Acts chapter 2, in verse 4. Again, very familiar. It says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit," the gift of Holy Spirit. This is the first time that anyone could be born from above. All 12 apostles were filled with Holy Spirit. They were born again. And then it says, "And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them," what? Utterance. Now, I have proven this. In fact, I've proven it with some of the people that are in this room. That if you will take this and understand this one verse of Scripture, that by understanding and acting upon it, that you can speak in tongues. First, of course, you have to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to get born from above. But as a Christian, there's something that you need to do to speak in tongues. What is it? You need to begin to speak. It's interesting. This word speak is a common Greek word. It's the word laleo. But we took a little time and looked at it earlier this morning. As we looked in one of the Bible dictionaries, the lexicon concerning this, the first definition that came up concerning laleo was to make sounds. That's pretty good. To make sounds. They began to speak. What did they do? They began to make sounds. We talk about the mechanism of speech, what it takes to speak. You got to move your lips, right? That's not all you do. But you move your tongue, your throat. You begin to make sounds. Now, as you begin to make sounds, who is it that gives you the utterance? God. The Spirit. See, the words come from God. They don't come from your mind. They come from God. So there's something that you need to do if you're going to speak in tongues. What do you need to do? You need to begin to speak. You need to begin to make sounds with the assurance that God will give you the utterance. Does that work? Yep. One verse. Now, there's a lot of other verses that we could look at. There's a lot of depth and understanding. We've spent considerable time looking at the profit of the manifestation, what it's designed for, when to use it, when not to use it, a lot of additional information. But the how of speaking in tongues is extremely simple. Now, God wants us to operate the manifestations more than we want to operate them. Why would he make it complicated and difficult? He doesn't. I also believe that a person that is desirous, that is hungry, can learn to interpret and prophesy from just a few verses of Scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. This word that we've come to understand, laleo, comes up again pretty extensively in a few verses of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, "For he that speaks, laleo, in a tongue, speaks not unto men, but unto" who? "God. For no man understands. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Okay, so when you speak in tongues, who are you speaking unto? God. Right? You're speaking unto God words that you do not understand. Right? That's what it says. No man understands. God gives the utterance to you. It is a foreign tongue. It's an other tongue to you. You don't understand what you're saying. But you do have to do something. What is it? Speak. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, 2. Then it says in verse 3, "But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation and" what? "Comfort." Okay, so when you prophesy, you speak unto who? Men. Not God. I heard somebody say God. No, you speak unto who? Men. The church. You speak unto men. When you speak in tongues, you speak unto God. When you prophesy, you speak unto men. That's one difference. You speak words of edification, exhortation, and comfort, which means that those are words that the people in that fellowship are going to understand. Right? Yes. Words that you would speak in a language that you understand. Now, two big differences between verse 2 and verse 3. When you speak in tongues, you speak unto God. When you prophesy, who do you speak unto? Men. When you speak in tongues, you speak words you do not understand. When you speak prophecy, it's words you do understand. You know what's the same in both? Speak. You make the sounds. Again, I have taken these verses with hungry souls and taught them so that people can learn to prophesy with a couple verses of Scripture. It's how it works. It's that simple. I believe, and I'm coming to understand more clearly, that all nine of the manifestations are this simple and clear in God's Word. Now, it takes some effort. At first, it might seem like a voluminous amount of material at times as you approach a topic like this. But then as you come to understand, things start to clarify, they start to simplify, and you start to understand, I can do that. That's what we're here to get from God's Word. But isn't that wonderful? Now, when it comes to the profit of these manifestations, we've talked extensively about the profit of speaking in tongues. Can I see a hands? What is one of the things that speaking in tongues is good for? Fred? Speak the wonderful works of God from Acts 2. Katie? Give thanks well. Davey?
Perfect prayer.
Right, perfect prayer, making intercession for the saints. Samuel? If it's what? If it's interpreted, right? This is going to come up a little in a few minutes here. We don't just walk around and speak in tongues to unbelievers and say, look, here's a sign. No. How do people hear the sign of speaking in tongues when they come to a believer's meeting and hear tongues with interpretation? Yeah, Vance, what's another prophet?
Magnify God.
Yes, Diane? Oh. Yeah, what's that?
Builds the inner man.
Builds you up in the inner man, that spirit. Right, exactly, Lorraine. It brings rest to your soul. Wonderful prophet from speaking in tongues. Just tremendous. Doug, did you have something else? Oh, that was yours too. She beat you to it, yeah. Joe? It's worship. That's right. It's worship. In fact, many of the things that you mentioned, like to speak the wonderful works of God, or another one is to magnify God, or to give thanks. Well, you can see how many of these things are in the category of worship. You know, what a privilege it is. You know, gosh, when you understand more and more what God has done for us, we just love Him, you know, in return for His great love. And you want to give Him the worship that He deserves, but gosh, you try to do it by the senses, and it just, you know, we just fall so short. So God has given us the ability to worship Him truly via the Spirit, to praise Him perfectly. He's given us the ability to pray unto Him perfectly. You talk about prophet. You know, how fantastic is it to be able to speak in tongues? You know, one point that needs to be stated at this point as we progress into these other manifestations is the more and more that we all speak in tongues, the more and more we speak in tongues in our private prayer life, the more it will facilitate the effectual operation of all the other manifestations. Speaking in tongues is something that we can do all the time. It's something that it's just always right to do. In fact, you can be speaking in tongues as you're listening to Doug up here. You know, Doug might not be so perfect, but the speaking in tongues is, and that's really terrific. Now, what about interpretation and prophecy? What's the prophet? Well, let's look, while we're here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It says in verse 3 again, "But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation and," what? "Comfort." One of the great things that you can do when you hear these manifestations is listen for the comfort that's in them and listen for the encouragement that's in them, the exhortation. Both of them combined build you up. Both are edifying. But the manifestations, if they're done right on according to the word, will always be one or the other, comfort or encouragement, or usually a combination of both. If God says to you, "Be bold, my children," like He did just a few minutes ago, what's that? Encouragement. If He tells us that He loves us and that He will never leave us and never, never forsake us, what's that? That's comfort. You know, how wonderful is that? Do you ever get enough comfort? Do you ever get enough encouragement? How wonderful it is to have that prophet. Now, that's, according to verse 3, is the prophet of prophecy, the manifestation of prophecy. But look what it says in verses 4 and 5. "He that speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaks with tongues, except he do" what? "Interpret, that the church may receive edifying." Now, very clearly, the edifying that comes from tongues with interpretation of verse 5 is tied directly to the edifying that takes place by the manifestation of what? Prophecy. This is to the church. When you speak in tongues and interpret, the interpretation will be words of edification. Edification by way of what? Exhortation and comfort. By the way, you know, since we've been here, we've heard numerous messages. I understand you've had wonderful hour of power groups where you've operated these manifestations. We'll be hearing from God all week. And they're just wonderful. I don't know how I lived without the comfort and the encouragement that comes from those great manifestations when the church gets together. It's so terrific. But tongues with interpretation provide the edification, exhortation, and comfort that prophecy also provides. Now, a very, very significant question that comes up is you got to ask yourself, well, what's the difference? What's the difference between tongues with interpretation and prophecy? The reason we know there's a difference is because of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember, each one of the manifestations are given for a varying profit. So what's the difference? Good question. Well, the answer is in verse 22. And this is in the context of tongues with interpretation in the church. Verse 22 says, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign to them that believe not." And boy, oh boy, does God say a lot in a few words right there. Wherefore tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which what? Believe. I remember the first fellowship I ever went to. Maybe you guys can remember something similar. First fellowship I ever went to, they were singing songs, and I didn't like that. Yeah, kind of weird. You know, these people that invited me I thought were pretty cool, but, you know, I didn't like singing. You know, and they'd say, "God bless you," and "I love you," and stuff. And I didn't, you know, I thought that was kind of creepy, and I wasn't sure, you know, but, you know, I was there. And then, you know, they prayed, and I shut my eyes, and, you know, they're praying, and then they, you know, somebody speaks in tongues and interprets. I don't know about you, but my eyes opened up. And I said, what in the heck is that? You remember? I've kind of observed this through the years, because we've had, you know, periodically some new people come to our fellowship, and it's always interesting when they hear tongues with interpretation for the first time, because what happens? It grabs their attention. You know, maybe the singing and the praying and the, you know, all the other stuff, even the teaching of the word doesn't really grab. But I'll tell you something, tongues with interpretation does. Why? It's for a sign to them that don't yet believe. And this isn't just talking about the unsaved, but it's talking about Christians who are yet to be instructed in the manifestations. It really grabs your attention. That's why when you got new people at your fellowship, you have tongues with interpretation. Most by three. If everybody understands and everybody's instructed, you can have all prophecy. See, but the varying profit between tongues with interpretation and prophecy is that the tongues part with interpretation is assigned to unbelievers. What a wonderful distinction to make. It's very interesting that throughout this chapter of 1 Corinthians 14, there are 9 uses of the word church. That's a lot in one chapter. There's also 7 uses of the word edify, or edification. It kind of gives you a little bit idea of what 1 Corinthians 14 is all about. It's all about what? The edification of the church. And what's the means for the church to be built up? Tongues with interpretation and prophecy. See, this is the great profit that God designed these new manifestations since Pentecost for. We spent extensive time talking about the profit of speaking in tongues, and now from this wonderful chapter of 1 Corinthians 14, seeing the profit of tongues with interpretation and prophecy. Now, another great truth to understand, and this will certainly be continuing to broaden our foundation for the rest of the week, is that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Every man to profit with all. That tells us that every one of us can operate all of the 9 manifestations. Now, some people have erroneously taught that that's impossible, that you only get one gift. I think Bruce talked a little bit about that this morning. But just stop and think. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 14:5, and as we read it, stop and think if this holds true, that a born-again one can only operate one of these 9. Let's look at verse 5. It says, "I would that ye," and what's the next word? All. See, that ye all Now, this isn't the Southern translation, you know, I would y'all, no. This means every one of us, right? I would that ye all spake with what? Tongues. So you know what that means? That all of us can speak in tongues. That's what it says. On the day of Pentecost, did anybody get missed? No. They all spoke in tongues. See, if God wills for all of us to speak in tongues, then we can all do it. That's what it says. And then it says, but rather, or but more and more. And remember, the context is the edification of the church, when the church gets together. But more and more that ye prophesy. This ye is the same ye that we just read when we read ye all. Has there been anybody dropped out? No. I would that you all spake with tongues. And more, when the church gets together, that you all prophesied. So all of a sudden, this one gift theory has just gone down by reading half of a verse of Scripture. And then it goes on to say, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he do what? Interpret. See, so everyone can speak in tongues, everyone can prophesy, and everyone can what? Interpret with the great purpose that the church may receive edifying. So one verse, we've come to understand that all of us can operate all three of the utterance manifestations. Well, what about the other six? Look at Acts chapter 8. The book of Acts is just so exciting because of the great progress that the early church made. And they made great progress because they believed God's word and they operated the power of God. They operated the manifestations. In Acts chapter 8 is a record of this point in his life as a young man. His name is Philip. And as a result of the persecution that arose around Saul, it says in verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. You know what Philip did? He went to a new town, Samaria, and he started witnessing. He preached Christ unto them, started sharing God's word. In verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he, Philip, what? Yeah. Did. So Philip went witnessing, and in the process of going witnessing, he performed workings of miracles, right? The miracles which he did. He operated the manifestation of workings of miracles. Verse 7, then it says, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. That's the casting out of devil spirits, which involves the manifestation of discerning of spirits. And then it says, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were what? Healed. That's gifts of healing. Now, as the week unfolds, we'll see that also involved in doing these wonderful works of God, the same works that Jesus Christ had previously done, involved with this is the operation of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and also the manifestation of believing. So you know what Philip did when he got down to Samaria? He walked with God. He walked by revelation. He operated word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and carried out believing, miracles, and what? Healings. One guy. Philip, he's a wonderful man. There's nothing in the word that, you know, he was a very young man at this point in time because he comes up much later in the Bible, older with a family and daughters and stuff. But he was just out moving God's word, and God worked with him. God worked in him, and he operated the manifestations. And he turned on this city of Samaria. In fact, in verse 8 it says, and there was great joy in that, what? City. So you just read just a few verses of scripture and you see that this idea that the manifestations are only reserved for a few, or that for us that we can only operate one, it just falls to pieces. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Every man, to profit with all. Now, where we're going to move in the next couple days here at Family Camp is we're going to start looking at the revelation manifestations of word of knowledge and word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. To set an introduction to that in light of what we've already seen, I'd like to set a little contrast between the utterance manifestations and the revelation manifestations. First of all, when it comes to speaking in tongues, how much can you speak in tongues? As much as you want. Is there any time that you can't? In other words, it's constantly available to speak in tongues. It's also constantly available to have interpretation of tongues and prophecy whenever you get together with other believers. Is there ever a time where God says, you know, in the Bible that that's not available in the church? No. It's always available. In fact, it's God's will that when the church gets together that we have tongues with interpretation and prophecy. See, those manifestations are constantly available for us to use according to the Scripture. That is not the same as revelation. Revelation is not always constantly available. It's available at God's choosing or God's prerogative to give. Now, God does give revelation. And we will see that God does give revelation to each of us. God gives revelation to his people, and he wants us to operate those manifestations. But they're not something that is constantly available all the time to operate. They're God's prerogative to give. Now, another difference between the utterance manifestations, particularly tongues with interpretation and prophecy, versus revelation, is that when we hear these words of edification, exhortation, and comfort, they apply to who? All of us. Right? To all of us. In fact, they not only apply to all of us, but they continue to apply to all of us in the hours or days ahead. When God earlier encouraged us to be bold, does that encouragement change because we go to bed tonight and wake up tomorrow morning? No, in fact, God would have us to continue to remember these words and continue to manifest that edification. So it's equally applicable to all in the church. Now, how does that compare with revelation? Is revelation given to all of us for all situations? No, it's given to individuals for specific situations. While we're in Acts 8, I'll show you a great example of it. This, again, is Philip after he preached in Samaria. And it says in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza," which is what? Desert. This is specific information given to who? Philip, to an individual. This is specific revelation at a specific time for him to do something. Okay? Arise, go out in the desert. In verse 7 or 27, "And he arose and went." See, he believed. He believed what the revelation that was given to him. "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto" who? "Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot." So Philip got revelation to go out into the desert. And then as he's out in the desert, this eunuch comes by in a chariot. This would, I'd love to see somebody paint this as a picture. This would just be terrific. But can you imagine this guy? He's the treasurer of Ethiopia and probably had a lot of gold and riches. And he was the treasurer of the queen of Ethiopia. But he came by in his chariot. And at that point, God, by revelation, says unto Philip, go join thyself to this chariot. That's, again, specific information given to an individual for a specific situation. Now, could you take this revelation and think it applies to you and then go out and do it? Like, okay, you know, Alan reads this and he says, okay, I'm going to go out into the desert. You know, and then he's out there looking for the guy in the chariot to come by. No, why? Because it doesn't apply to Alan.
Thank you.
At this time. Right? See, revelation given to an individual is not to be taken and applied by another individual or even the same individual in similar situations or dissimilar situations. See, he got revelation to go out into the desert, and then while he's out there, he got further revelation of what to do. Go join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which was read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaks the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, who? Jesus. I would say that this is a rather miraculous encounter that God brought two people together for great profit. The eunuch got born again, got saved as a result of this. Philip had a very unique revelation. Go out in the desert. You know, then go join yourself to this chariot. How much must have blessed Philip's heart when he got there and the guy's reading from Isaiah. And he's able to lead him to the new birth. But that's revelation. You know, now we can be profited because we can understand from this that God desires to direct our steps to hungry souls. That God wants us to effectually witness. But boy, you try to take the specifics of this revelation and apply it to your life. You got Alan out in the desert looking for a chariot. And no good. As I mentioned, the utterance manifestations are to the church. Revelation is given to an individual for specific situations. Look at Jeremiah chapter 32. I just picked out Jeremiah. You could pick out most any place in the Old Testament and see very similar phrases to what we're going to read. But this is revelation given to a prophet, Jeremiah. And it's described very simply. Jeremiah 32, verse 1. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah from who? The Lord. And then what follows is the revelation that was given to him at a specific time and a specific circumstance. But the word, this is words of wisdom, word of knowledge, that was given to Jeremiah came from who? The Lord. Look at verse 26. It says, then came the word of the Lord unto who? Jeremiah, saying. This is given to an individual, Jeremiah, revelation. Verse chapter 33, it says in verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, and then it goes on to give specific information to Jeremiah about this specific situation. See, this is revelation given to who? Jeremiah, an individual. Chapter 33, verse 19. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord. See, at different times, God gives revelation to individuals concerning specific situations. Look at chapter 34. In verse 1, it says, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, and all the kingdoms of the earth, of his dominion, and all the people, fought against Jerusalem, against all the cities thereof, saying. And then what follows is the revelation that pertained to that particular circumstance. But who was it given to? An individual named Jeremiah. Chapter 35. In verse 1, it says, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, and then this is what follows, word of knowledge and word of wisdom of what Jeremiah is to know and to do. But this is how revelation operates. It's given to individuals at specific times for specific circumstances. How does that contrast with tongues with interpretation and prophecy? Tongues with interpretation and prophecy are given not to an individual, but to the church, and it's equally applicable at varying times. You can take that which you hear in a believer's meeting and believe it tomorrow. You can hang on to those words and believe it next week. It'll still work. Because they're words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. You try that with revelation, you get in the soup a little bit. Now, how, as we saw, are the three utterance manifestations received? They're received by speaking. That's why they're called utterance manifestations. They're received by speaking. Now, the revelation manifestations are not necessarily received by speaking. They're received in a different manner, and that's where we'll begin with tomorrow morning. But to conclude this teaching session tonight, let's go to John chapter 14, same place we concluded last night. Again, one of just the most awesome verses of Scripture in all of the Bible, John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do what? Also. See, certainly the works that Jesus Christ did included the consistent, faithful operation of the six manifestations that were available to him. He continued continually to walk with God by revelation. He said, I can do nothing of myself. The words that I speak are not mine. They come from God. He walked with God continually, operating word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and producing faith, miracles, and healings. But this encouragement is to us that the works that he did, we can do also. Why? Because we believe on him. And then it goes on to say, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, after what we've seen today about the utterance manifestations, I propose to you that, you know, amongst these greater works are speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Because when we speak in tongues, we worship God perfectly. When we speak in tongues, we pray to God perfectly. When we speak in tongues and interpret in a believer's meeting, or when we bring forth a word of prophecy, it produces the edification that God desires for everybody. An edification that can continue all the days of our life. How huge is that? Well, it's so huge that Jesus Christ himself described it as greater works than that which he did when he was present here upon earth. You know, you might get to the point where you take these utterance manifestations for granted, but let's not. They are so fantastic that we get to operate them And we also have the privilege of operating the other six, which we'll learn about in the days ahead. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your good word, how wonderful it is, for how clear and simple you can instruct us so that we can do what you'd have us to do. Father, we're desirous to grow and to understand more and more of what our Lord has accomplished for us and of the gift of Holy Spirit that we have. And Father, how thankful we are to be able to approach this awesome topic of the manifestations this week. I pray that each person will have the eyes of their understanding more and more enlightened, and that more and more we'll be able to walk with you and do the works that Jesus Christ once did here on earth, and even the greater works that his redemptive actions have made available. So, Father, we're so thankful to you for the Bible and for the Scripture and for this time of fellowshipping together here at Family Camp. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 God bless you.